Well, I thought it was time. Why? Haga let the pan fall from his pudgy fingers. Well, I thought, if the king should happen to come in... You're all mad. But, Captain... Vimes's accusing finger buried itself up to the second joint in Haga's expensive vest. You don't even know the wretched fellow's name, he shouted. Haga rallied. I do, Captain, he stuttered. Course I do. Seen it on the decorations and everything. He's called Rex Vivat. Very gently, shaking his head in despair, crying in his heart for the essential servility of mankind, Vimes let him go. In another time and place, the librarian finished reading. He'd reached the end of the text. Not the end of the book. There was plenty more book. It had been scorched beyond the point of legibility, though. Not that the last few unburned pages were very easy to read. The author's hand had been shaking, he'd been writing fast, and he'd blotted a lot. But the librarian had wrestled with many a terrifying text in some of the worst books ever bound. Words that tried to read you as you read them. Words that writhed on the page. At least these weren't words like that. These were just the words of a man frightened for his life, a man writing a dreadful warning. It was a page a little back from the burned section that drew the librarian's eye. He sat and stared at it for some time, then he stared at the darkness. It was his darkness. He was asleep out there somewhere. Somewhere out there a thief was heading for this place to steal this book. And then someone would read this book, read these words, and do it anyway. His hands itched. All he had to do was hide the book, or drop onto the thief's head and unscrew it by the ears. He stared into the darkness again. But that would be interfering with the course of history. Horrible things could happen. The librarian knew all about this sort of thing. It was part of what you had to know before you were allowed into L-space. He'd seen pictures in ancient books. Time could bifurcate, like a pair of trousers. You could end up in the wrong leg, living a life that was actually happening in the other leg. Talking to people who weren't in your leg, walking into walls that weren't there anymore. Life could be horrible in the wrong trouser of time. Besides, it was against library rules. The three rules of the librarians of time and space are 1. Silence, 2. Books must be returned no later than the last date shown, and 3. Do not interfere with the nature of causality. The assembled librarians of time and space would certainly have something to say about it if he started to tinker with causality. He closed the book carefully and tucked it back into the shelf. Then he swung gently from bookcase to bookcase until he reached the doorway. For a moment he stopped and looked down at his own sleeping body. Perhaps, he wondered briefly, whether to wake himself up, have a little chat, tell himself that he had friends and not to worry. If so, he must have decided against it. You could get yourself into a lot of trouble that way. Instead, he slipped out of the door and lurked in the shadows and followed the hooded thief when it came out clutching the book, and waited near the dread portal in the rain until the elucidated brethren had met, and when the last one left, followed him to his home and murmured to himself in anthropoid surprise, and then ran back to his library and the treacherous pathways of L-space. By mid-morning, the streets were packed. Vimes had docked Nobby a day's salary for waving a flag, and an air of barbed gloom settled over the yard, like a big black cloud with occasional flashes of lightning in it.
"Get up in a high place," muttered Nobby. "That's all very well to say."
"I was looking forward to lining the streets," said Colon. "I'd have got a good view."
"You were going on about privilege and the rights of man the other night," said Nobby, accusingly.
"Yes, well, one of the privileges and rights of man is getting a good view," said the sergeant. "That's all I'm saying."
"I've never seen the captain in such a filthy temper," said Nobby. "I liked it better when he was on the drink. I reckon he's..."
"You know, I think Errol is really ill," said Carrot.
They turned towards the fruit basket.
"He's very hot, and his skin looks all shiny."
"What's the right temperature for a dragon?" said Colon.
"Yeah, and how'd you take it?" said Nobby.
"I think we ought to ask Lady Ramkin to have a look at him," said Carrot. "She knows about these things."
"No, she'll be getting ready for the coronation. We shouldn't go disturbing her," said Colon.
He stretched out his hand to Errol's quivering flanks.
"I used to have a dog that... Arr! That's not hot, that's boiling!"
"I've offered him lots of water, and he just won't touch it. What are you doing with that kettle, Nobby?"
Nobby looked innocent.
"Well, I thought we might as well make a cup of tea before we go out. It's a shame to waste...
Take it off him!"
Noon came, The fog didn't lift, but it did thin a bit, to allow a pale yellow haze where the sun should have been. Although the passage of years had turned the post of Captain of the Watch into something rather shabby, it still meant that Vimes was entitled to a seat at official occasions. The pecking order had moved it, though, so that now he was in the lowest tier, on the rickety bleachers between Master of the Fellowship of Beggars and Head of the Teachers' Guild. He didn't mind that. Anything was better than the top row, among the assassins, thieves, merchants, and all the other things that had floated to the top of society. He never knew what to talk about.